So this morning, I want to start our message, which we're a little ahead of time, but, you know, as Christians and laborers for the Lord, sometimes we can find ourselves getting discouraged because what we're doing for the Lord seems maybe unfruitful or unsuccessful. And you say, well, what do you mean? Where are we going with this? What I mean is, like, for example, sometimes when Marilyn and Mary and I and some of you that do or have in the past taught children's church or kids club or taught children, you're trying to teach them something, and some of them are up walking around, and some of them are talking to somebody else, or someone's kicking somebody else, or, you know, they're restless. So you find yourself as a teacher, and we get a teacher back here, I'm sure that she knows exactly what I'm talking about, when you're trying to teach them something, and you feel like none of it's going through. One thing the Lord just put in my heart right now is we've got to understand when it comes to children, when we're teaching children, we're not just teaching them by looking at in the physical sense. We are feeding their spirits. So even though their bodies look like they're not paying attention whatsoever, their spirits are hearing every word when it comes to the Word of God. Mary can account to this, there's some of you others that can count for this. We might teach them something, and at the end of that teaching, and Eleanor did some teaching too, that when you ask questions at the end and you get an answer from someone, the one that raises their hand, the one that was the most active and looked like was the less, was not interested in all, that was the person who had the answer. But simply, that's because even though in the physical sense they don't look like they're paying attention, their spirits are listening. So know that even though you feel like at times you get discouraged because you are teaching young people and that they're not getting it, they are getting it. Their spirits are getting fed. But how about your neighbor, that neighbor that you've been trying to reach with the gospel for maybe, a couple of years to decades? You know, for a generation, you've tried to minister to this neighbor, and they politely show you that they're not interested. And you've tried and tried and tried. Or how about a member of your family that they're not following the Lord at all? And I think probably all of us in this room can say, I can relate to that one. I've been trying to, pray for this person and the family for a long time, and I just don't see any results. You don't see any fruit from, trying to get them to hear the gospel. So that's kind of what I want us to talk about today, because, we think about the world when we want to pray for the people of the world that are lost, that we pray for them. We go into fervent prayer for them. Someone was saying this morning to me, regarding Kelly, I've just been praying and praying and praying and praying. So, but we need to have that fervent prayer. We need to intercede for these people that, aren't Christians, that are still walking in the things of the world. But if we're not careful as Christians, we might find ourselves getting frustrated and discouraged and, what's the use? That kind of, why even bother? Well, that right there is a thought that's trying to come in. You remember what I said, that battle starts in the mind? Well, that's what Satan likes to do. He wants to start right there and say, well, can't you see? You're not getting anywhere with that person. You ministered to them 10 years ago, and you've been praying for them for 10 years, and they're still not following God. They still have this attitude. So, that's a lie from the devil because, again, this is what we're going to talk about this morning, is that underneath it all, God's grace is there. And it says in the Word that God's grace is sufficient. So here's a story I want to share. There's a Salvadorian clergyman who was murdered for his fearless rebuke of violence and injustice. He wrote, "We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds that have already been planted, knowing they hold future promise." In other words, when we prayed this morning, We know that we know that that prayer, God is on it. God is going to work in making those prayers happen. So, it goes on to say, and we lay foundations that will need future development. This is what this man was saying. And we cannot do everything. We cannot do everything. We cannot do everything. And there is a sense of relief in that. You know, sometimes we say, well, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, but this person just don't want to get their act together. And you find you get frustrated. That doubt comes, that, you know, all of those things, those negative things bombard us, and then we feel guilty. Well, maybe I didn't try hard enough. Maybe I should have spent more time with them. Satan will use everything in his power to get you to doubt yourself, to get you discouraged, to get you frustrated, disgusted in that walk that you have with the Lord because you don't see the results that you think should happen because of the time and the effort and the prayers that you put into it. So, if we have this approach that I just read to you, that we have to realize that, yes, we have our part to play. We have to sow that seed. We have to water that seed. We have to stand in the gap. We have to pray and intercede. But there's still another part here that needs to be played out, and that's God's part. It's His grace. It's called His grace that comes in. So Apostle Paul talks about this. It says, to be faithful in our task, and to wait on God who gives the increase. It's not our responsibility to give that grace and that increase. Our responsibility is to do what God's called us to do, to sow that seed, to water that seed, to walk in love with that person and stand in the gap for them. But we're not to say, well, I expect fruit from the seed I planted. I want to, yes, we should, but we're not responsible for seeing that that fruit comes to fruition. We're not responsible for that. It's God's grace that brings that, it brings it about. It's not our part. So we can take that load off of our shoulders thinking, well, we don't see any fruit from this person. Because that's not our part. That's not our part to play. Okay? So I want you to realize that that load needs to be taken off your shoulders this morning. For in God's own time, our work will bear fruit. Our work that we do in sowing and watering the seed. So here's a good illustration of that. Let's say that yesterday or 6 months ago or a year ago, you told someone about Jesus. Maybe you gave them your testimony, a small portion of your testimony. But then, maybe tomorrow or the next day or maybe yesterday, that person is going through a season in their life that's so traumatic, and then the Holy Spirit reminds them, remember talking to so-and-so? Remember talking to Jim? He shared his testimony and how he trusted God in the situation he was going through. Remember that? How he said that? That same God can do the same thing for you. So the Holy Spirit can remind them. So whatever it is that you did 6 months ago, a year ago, or 10 years ago, will come back to the surface for that person when they're going through a trial, when they're going through a season. That opportunity that you had does not go to waste. It will bear fruit. It will bear fruit. So the seeds of the gospel that you and I sow today will break ground, not in our time, but it will break ground in God's time. As Christians, we are just to remain faithful in getting those seeds out there. That's our job. As laborers, that's our job. So, those seeds could include simply, again, sharing the gospel, or sharing your testimony. Or maybe someone that you know is going through a hard time, like I just said, in life, and they need to share. They need to vent. So you take that time as a Christian, and you let them share and vent. I had a friend of mine when I was going through stuff 40 years ago. She had six kids. She had her hands full enough. She was the head of the church children's ministry. She had, and she was working besides. She had more important things to do than to sit there and listen to me vent. But every single time I needed someone to talk to, you could bet that was the woman I went to. And she never complained. She sat there and she listened. And sometimes it was for quite some time. But the thing we had in common is we both played the guitar. And so after I was done venting, we'd get our guitars out and we'd just sing and praise the Lord with both of our guitars. And so she was sowing a seed, and it took a while for that seed to bear fruit. But she was patient, and she waited on God. And even today she said, I knew God had big things for you. I knew God was going to use you in a mighty way. But see, if she would not have taken that time with me, I don't know where I'd be today, to be honest with you. So that's one of the things that we do. We sow and we water. And the way we water is by being there and saying, hey, I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray for you. Or I want to sing with you. Or I want to just hug you right now. These are ways that we as laborers can do our part. Number three, or maybe we are returning something that is lost with a simple God bless you. Here's a couple of other examples. You go to the grocery store and you see maybe an older person that's hanging on to dear life to their cart, and they're just wanting to get through the checkout and they can hardly stand because they've walked through the whole thing of Walmart. And you're standing there with maybe a handful of things. You step aside and say, please go ahead of me. And they're going, oh, no, it's okay. I've got the cart. No, go right ahead. I insist. You go ahead of me. That's a way that you can show, sow a seed, a way that you can water a seed. Another way is compliment somebody. The other day at work, this lady came in, got some flowers, and she had this cute burgundy-type printed top. And I said, oh, I really like that top. And she's like, oh, this thing? And I go, that really looks nice on you. And she was just so flattered by the fact that someone noticed. I think she lived alone. But the fact that somebody took that time to encourage and to, you know, put a smile on her face. Yesterday when I went to visit Alice, my cousin Debbie said, hey, Bonnie, after you visit Alice, go across the hallway. My friend Bridget's in the other room. So as soon as I got done visiting with Alice, I asked Alice, I said, do you know Bridget? She goes, oh, yeah, I got to meet her, she says. And I said, well, Debbie wanted me to go and say hello to her. So I went over there, and she's laying in bed, and I go, two ladies were in there. I go, which one of you ladies is Bridget? And the lady laying in bed says, me, who wants to know? And I said, I'm Debbie's cousin. And I said, my name is Bonnie. And so we got to talking, and she was so thrilled that, you know, she was doing her word search, and we visited for about, 15 minutes. And I asked, I said, can I come back again and see you? And she said, I would really, really like that. Well, it turns out that her family lives, out of state, some of them.
Her daughter lives in Colorado.
Yeah, and then I think, doesn't she have a son or somebody that lives up in Joliet or some?
Yeah.
So, I mean, her chances of her family coming to see her are slim to none. You know, or maybe they see her once a month or whatever. But the point being is, you know, when you have an opportunity as a Christian, if you're not sowing a seed or you don't feel comfortable about sowing a seed, then water the seed. Water that seed. And I shared this testimony before that when George and I first came to the Lord, we would go on crusades or we'd walk the streets of, we went to New York one time, we went to Florida one time, we went to St. Louis one time, and I remember we went to this one place in a bus, and we were going to go on the streets, and we were going to witness on the streets. And we had a band that played Christian music and stuff, and of course, I had not said anything about, do you know the Lord? I thought, I ain't going to do that. I don't know these people. And of course, and they all said, this is not a really good side of town, so make sure you go in twos or threes. You don't go by yourself. You stay together. So I said, okay, George, it's up to you. I'll follow you, and I'll take notes, And he did. He just, my husband just got out there, and he just did it. And again, I was taking notes. But, the thing is that he's the one that could do, he could sow that seed. Like at the drop of a hat, he could sow a seed and not feel uncomfortable about it, and he was bold about it, and he was, you know, he was excited to do it. Me, on the other hand, once that seed's planted, man, I can go in there, I can show him lots of love, and I can water that seed, I can encourage him, I can do. So some of us don't feel comfortable with maybe the sowing part. But maybe we feel more comfortable with the, you know, watering part of watering that seed. And that's okay. You know, we are the body of Christ, and some of us are the toe. Some of us are the elbow. Some of us are the knee. Some of us are the shoulder. But we all have a part to play, okay? So all by doing these type of things, we are sowing seeds or watering the seeds. So in John chapter 4, verse 37 and 38, Jesus says to his disciples, "You know," they say, "one plants, another harvests." It's true. "I sent you to harvest what you did not plant." I sent you to harvest what you did not plant. "And others had already done the work. And now you get to gather in the harvest." You get to gather in the harvest. So going with this thought, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, which I'm sure some of you that are very familiar with Scripture, she's going to get to the Scripture, and this is it. "I planted the seed in your heart, and Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow." God who gives the increase. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. But again, it's not our responsibility or our timeline of seeing when that seed is going to grow and how much it will grow. It's God's responsibility. So again, we can take the load off of our shoulders and know that even though we want to see progress in that seed that we've sown or the seed that we've watered, we want to see more progress, but it's in God's time, not in our time. So God's the one that the conversion is the work of God and God alone. So God is looking for laborers like you and I in the field, and every one of us has the important part to play, like we talked about. Some it matters, sometimes it matters. It's a matter of sowing the seed, or it's a matter of watering the seed that another person sows. But it's by God's grace we are reaping what others have sown and watered. And as laborers in the field, we must be patient. We must be patient as Christians because God is at work. So, first, we cannot really find an instance in the New Testament of just one person. It only took one person to bring someone to Christ. Most of the time, there was more than one person that was involved in bringing that individual to believe in the gospel. So here's some examples of that in Acts 16:30 regarding the Philippian jailer. God could have reached this Philippian jailer in many ways. We know that. But he chose to use Paul and Silas, who were imprisoned for preaching the gospel. And they were mistreated by the jailer. But when an earthquake struck and the prisoners could have been free, the jailer, of course, would have faced execution. Whether it was his fault or not, the one who is the guard, if their prisoner escapes, they are going to get executed. And that's just how it went. So, yet Paul and the others chose to stay. They did not run. Even though they had an opportunity to be free, they did not run. And because of that, that jailer asked, he said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" But the thing is, not only was the jailer, the guard, saved, but his whole household was saved. But again, it shows us that it wasn't just one person. It took a few people to make this happen. They were laborers for God. So another case would be Cornelius, a centurion in an Italian regiment who had a heart to know God. He had a desire to know God. So an angel appeared to him and told him he needed to talk to someone named Simon Peter, who was in Joppa. So Cornelius sent for Peter, and Peter shared the gospel with him. So there was others that were involved. So here's a third one. Everyone's familiar with this one. There was a man, Saul from Tarsus, who we all know as Paul. He was converted, of course, on the road to Damascus, and after that direct encounter with Jesus, yet, you can't shrug off the possibility that when Stephen was stoned to death, and Paul, at that time was Saul stood there taking off his cloak, holding his cloak, watched others stone Stephen to death. But as Stephen was being stoned to death because of his stance on, you know, sharing the gospel and the fact that he was a Christian, which was at the orders of Saul, this is what Peter said, what Stephen says. He says, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." The fact that during that time, when Saul, or Paul now, his heart changes on the road to Damascus when Jesus appears to him, do you think that during that time that he was blind, that didn't enter his mind? Here's Stephen, who's being stoned to death, and yet he says, "Lord, forgive them. Do not count this as a sin against them." And the man dies. I'm sure that thought came to his mind while he's waiting for Ananias to come. So here's Stephen and then Ananias. It took more than one person. Jesus was the one who planted the seed, or sowed the seed, but then thinking about Stephen and his experience, that watered the seed some more, and then Ananias comes along and he waters the seed again. So there's more than one person that's always involved in either planting or watering the seed. Yes, God uses people to reach people, but God is the one who saves, who causes the conversion. He's the one who gives the increase. God causes the seed to grow, and God's grace. All of these things come together. But how can that happen unless we first sow that seed? Again, some of us in this room might feel more comfortable with sowing the seed. Others might feel more comfortable with watering the seed. But we all have a part to play. God is the one who prepares a person's heart to hear and to receive the gospel. So therefore, God is the one who does the work. God is the one, you know, we open up with our prayer in the morning, we say, "Lord, prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us today." So I'll give you another example of something a little more recent of others helping others. There was a 200 volunteer that assisted October Books, which is a bookstore, in England. It had moved its store from one building down maybe a half a block to another building. Okay? So instead of packing up all these books from this bookstore into a van and moving them maybe, 100, 200 feet or whatever, they decided they were going to do what they called a human conveyor belt. And what they would do is one day start from where the original bookstore was, and one person would hand it off to the next person. But 200 volunteers, and they, like I said, they were a human conveyor belt. And they helped each other, and they moved all these books from one address, literally, to another address, which was maybe three or four buildings down. So it says, having witnessed these volunteers in action, the store employees said, "It was really a moving experience to see people helping people because they want to be a part of something bigger than themselves." So as Christians, that's what we want. We want to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. God uses us to reach the world with the message of his love, because someone shared the gospel with us. We need to share it with others. We need to be that human conveyor belt that goes, that came before us, and then to someone else. So Paul compares this to, when we pass one thing on to something else, it says the buildings of God's kingdom. He compares it to growing a garden. So some of us plant the seed while some of us water. And as Paul says, we are co-workers in God's work. Each job, again, like I said earlier, is important, yet all of them are done under the power of the Holy Spirit. By God's Spirit, God enables people to thrive spiritually when they hear that he loves them, that he is faithful, and that he is there to encourage, to guide, to lead us, to give us a peace, to give us a joy, and that our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiving. Who would not want to hear that message? My sins have been forgiven. Christ went to the cross so that I wouldn't have to. He paid a price he did not owe for a debt I could never, ever pay. So, who wouldn't want to hear that message? God does much of his work through his laborers, through us. Although we're a part of a community of the body of Christ, that's much bigger than we can only contribute on our own. But we can help it grow. We can continue to grow the kingdom of God by working and by sharing the gospel with everyone that comes across our path. And that doesn't mean that you have to get scripture out, or you don't have to do hell and damnation with somebody when you're preaching the gospel. Simply showing them kindness, showing them love, showing them patience, showing them that you care. Showing them that you care. You know, in our zeal to serve God, it's easy to think that it's our responsibility. This is the one thing I want you to take away today. Some of us think that it's our responsibility to produce results, to produce fruit. But that causes us to place, hear this? That causes us to place too much faith on our ability instead of God's ability. I'm going to say that again. If we get frustrated because we do not see the fruit from what we have sown, when we are doing that, when we get frustrated, when we get discouraged, what we're doing is we're having faith in our ability instead of God's ability. So that's a lie from Satan. So know that God's grace is in this plan. God's grace is on it. If you've done your part, if you've sown the seed, if you've watered the seed, God is on it. He's working on our behalf. So in Corinth church, certain believers favored the seed planting ministry of Paul. I wanted to touch on this earlier, but I didn't want to jump ahead of myself. You know, they were saying in this particular scenario that some favored Paul's ministry over Apollo's ministry. Paul's ministry was to plant the seed, but Apollo's ministry was to water the seed, okay? But some favored one over the other. Well, maybe some felt more comfortable with one than the other. But we are not to say, well, I'm going to go over here because that's where I feel most comfortable. No, we're not to, or, well, I don't care for his ministry because of this, this, and this. We, here's a good example of that. I had a gentleman come and look at my roof the other day, and he's going to come and replace the shingles. And I said, well, my neighbor down the lane had this other guy come, and he wasn't real happy with the price that he quoted, and he goes, and I really don't know that much about them. And Mike said to me, this guy that's doing my roof, I've known the family for decades, very strong Christian family, and you know what he replied to me? It kind of made me feel guilty in a way, and I should have, because I shouldn't have said it. That's what the neighbor's opinion was about this other particular roofing company. He says, I don't badmouth any other companies. He just simply just said it like that. He says, I do not badmouth or think negatively about any other company that's, you know, that does the same thing I do. And I thought, well, there you go. It's because of the family that he's in, because of he's been brought up that way, that you do not, in your business or in your regular life, no matter what, you do not compare one against the other. And I was so proud of him that he did that. And it just told me that that seed that was sown in that family was watered and watered and watered and watered, and look what kind of man he's been brought up to be. And God is going to honor that business that he's got simply for that reason, because he is walking in the things of God. He's doing it the godly way. He's not bad-mouthing any other business. He's just going about what God has called him to do. So we have to keep that in mind. And I learned something from that. I mean, again, I was sharing what my neighbor had said, but I shouldn't have said it. I should not have said it. It was not my place. So I got a little lesson there. So telling on myself today. So anyway, Paul does acknowledge that even though there's others that compared Apollo's ministry and his ministry, you know, they were comparing them. Paul does acknowledge that their faithfulness, their efforts, were part of God's plan, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labors. So, in closing, I want to share something that was really kind of cute, kind of puts things in perspective. It goes like this. There's a farmer, and he's sitting on his front porch in his rocking chair. You ask him what he's doing. He answers, farming. You ask him, well, what are you growing? He says, wheat. And so we reply saying, but your fields, they're not plowed and they're not planted. That's right, the farmer answers. I'm farming by faith and believing God for the harvest. But maybe you should do something? The farmer replies, no, I am, he says. I'm praying and I'm believing. The thing is this, we do have our part to play. And I think you understand that now from this message, that we all have a part to play. And yes, maybe, again, as I said, maybe you're more comfortable with watering than you are sowing the seed. But over time, it does come easier, and you find yourself being comfortable in doing one or the other when the opportunities present itself. But start out at least with the one that you feel most comfortable in. And what I mean is, hey, if you like to sing and you like to belt it out, let's use that gift. If you like to play an instrument, use that gift. It doesn't necessarily have to be here. Go to the nursing homes and use that gift. Go to, like Dave, he has a friend that they get together and they kind of jam, as Dave says, they jam together. During that time, I'm sure that Dave, because of who Dave is, he's watering a seed with his friend. He's watering a seed. So we all, in one way or another, we all have an opportunity every single day to water a seed or to sow a seed. So in 1 Corinthians, it teaches us that the results are not up to us. What I mean by that, it's not up to us to bear the fruit of what we've sown. We need to sow, we need to water. So that in itself should take the pressure off of you, knowing that, whew, I don't have to worry about making results happen with the situation. I don't have to worry about it. It's a God thing. It's a God's thing. It's a God wink. It's God's thing to do. The best way to serve God is to faithfully water the seed, plant the seed, and trust God, trusting God for the results. That's our part, to be faithful in what he's called us to do, teaching, preaching, ministering, just ministering in any and every way that possible. God does not expect us to make the seed bear fruit. Jesus said to plant it and to pray that it will root. That's our part. We are to pray that that seed bears fruit so that we can plant the seed, but only God gives the increase. so that we can begin to see the harvest. Amen? Amen. So with that, Father God, let's bow our heads. We desire to put our trust in you as we sow seeds, as we water seeds, and we stand in faith that, Father, we will be about your business, and you will be about your business. And, Father, we know that we will see results because nothing is impossible for you. And for you are the same God yesterday and today and forever. You have never forsaken those who seek you, and you will never let us down because of our lives have been there is always a testimony to give of your greatness in our lives. So show us how to mature as Christians. Show us how to sow, how to water, to improve our walk of faith, and steady our trust in you so that we will not waver from your truths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.